TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI. Trust-based relational intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello and welcome to the TBRI podcast. You're listening to Season 8, Episode 3. On this show, we talk all about trust-based relational intervention, or TBRI. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various systems of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, producer of the podcast, and today we have our very first mother-son team of TBRI practitioners, Pam Taylor and Trent Taylor, joining us. After Pam's own personal adoption journey, she felt called to work on behalf of the children in foster care. Pam now serves as CEO and co-founder of the Watch Me Rise Ministry alongside her adopted son. Together, Pam and Trent serve foster and adoptive families with a vast array of support services. Pam is a TBRI practitioner, a Making Sense of Your Worth facilitator, Building Freedom from Within facilitator, an art therapy practitioner, educational therapist, life coach, and mental health coach. She also has a bachelor's degree in special education. Pam considers it a true honor to walk alongside foster and adoptive families and to guide them in the healing that is found in God. Trent entered foster care at the age of 4 due to domestic violence, extreme neglect, and sexual abuse. After traveling a painful journey through the foster care system, Pam was adopted at the age of 9 and came to dramatic levels of healing from his traumatic past. Trent, now at 23 years old, has devoted his life to helping others find healing. Trent is a mentor and public speaker and has authored and published 2 books. He recently graduated from Arizona State University with a 4.0 GPA and a Bachelor's of Science in Family and Human Development. Trent serves as CEO and co-founder of Watch Me Rise in Wake Forest, North Carolina. He is a trauma consultant and serves as a TBRI practitioner, life coach, mentor, and parent trainer. However, his favorite part of his job is working one-on-one with children and youth to provide hope for healing. Trent gives all the glory to God for his healing and strives to be a light in the darkness. Oh, friends, this episode is so special and so encouraging. And our host, Sarah Mercado, and I, we just feel so honored to share Pam and Trent's vulnerable story with you all today. You can find links to Pam and Trent's ministry, Watch Me Rise, and their podcast in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and please enjoy this very special episode with Pam Taylor and Trent Taylor.
Hey, Trent and Pam, welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to hear from you guys today.
Thank you so much for having us on. We're so excited to be able to share.
Awesome. Pam, let's start with you. Would you share, and I should just clarify, you guys are a mom-son team, and this is just really fun. I've been looking forward to hearing y'all's story and talking through kind of your experiences for a while now. So Pam, would you start and just kind of introduce yourself and tell us, how did you come to know TBRI?
All right. Well, as you said, my name is Pam Taylor. I am an adoptive mom, and Trent is one of my 2 adopted sons. The other one, his name is Mike, and he is 21 years old. And Trent will introduce himself, I'm sure, but Trent is 23. So a little bit of our background and how we got to TBRI. Goodness, my husband and I were high school sweethearts and always had adoption on our hearts, both of us. From a very young age, before we even got engaged, it was something that we talked about. Said that we would have our own biological kids if it happened, but if it didn't, that was fine too, because we always knew we wanted to adopt. So we dated for a really long time and then got married in our rather early 20s. And soon after, we started the process of fostering. So we fostered, goodness, kids ranging from straight out of the NICU to 18. So the whole range. And my husband was in veterinary school at that time, so we weren't fully into getting ready to adopt. We were fostering at that time. As a few years passed, we decided we were ready, and we started to pursue adoption. And we went to a match event where we met our two boys, well, who would later become our two boys.
Right.
This is years I'm throwing into about 3 minutes here.
I understand.
And we, it was kind of a lengthy process, but Trent and Mike came home to us in 2009. At that time, okay. I was a teacher. I had taught for 17 years. I taught preschoolers diagnosed with autism. Okay. So I felt very prepared. I just knew that I had everything under control. I see you laughing because you know what's coming.
I was a very great parent before I became a parent too.
Absolutely. We all were, right? I had it. I knew it.
I was the best parent ever before I had kids.
Yes. So I went in feeling very prepared. I was actually the resident behavior expert in the school system where I worked. So I was ready. Okay. So,
feeling like you're about to eat a piece of humble pie.
I am about to eat a big piece of humble pie. Yes. but I want others to learn from my mistakes. So,
of course. Yes. I am.
So I very quickly realized that all my bag of tricks with, reinforcement and punishments and all that was honestly, it was completely useless and actually working against us. So, I got a little desperate, honestly. There were times where I was on the floor in my closet crying and saying, I can't do this. And I'm the one that's supposed to be the expert here, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to tell people how much we were struggling because I felt like I was admitting defeat. So I started getting desperate and just seeking information because what I was doing was not working at all. My sticker charts, yeah. Did not work, didn't care, all that stuff, the deal. But so out of just information seeking, we found our way to an Empowered to Connect conference at one of our local churches. And my husband and I went, and it was like a light bulb moment, honestly. Mm-hmm. We left there feeling like, okay, we have some hope. There's something here that's different. So that got me stirred up, digging into more. Started trying to implement a little bit of that at home just from Empowered to Connect, which I felt was kind of like a teaser,
Right.
Gave me enough information to get started. And we started implementing some of that, but I realized real quick that honestly, it felt like we struck gold. And I was like, okay. And at that point, I actually made a career shift from teaching to learning all about trauma and especially working with children who had experienced various forms of trauma. And then found my way to becoming a TBRI practitioner in 2016.
Okay.
That's how we got there.
Wow. I just I have a similar entry point into, well, not my entry point, but my experience for me was initially like, oh no. Like, I don't think you know the kids that I am trying to deal with here and and what's happening and have done the I've been on the support side of foster families and all of that. And all I could hear, like a lot of what I could hear from you was just, you become so isolated, right? To begin with, like you already said, like I had to withdraw from my community. I didn't want them to know how hard this was. Was that transition easy for you? I mean, you said you were hungry for it.
From my behavioral background to TBRI. Uh-huh. No, that was not easy.
It wasn't.
At all.
Oh, it was not easy.
It was not easy. No. Okay. No. It was very challenging.
Okay.
Because I felt like all I had learned was useless, honestly, because all of my behavioral tricks and they weren't working.
Right.
They're working against me, and moving to things like shared power and, compromises and things that felt strange to me. I'm just going to be honest from my teaching standpoint, that felt, it was hard. I had to really be intentional about it.
Yeah.
Well, so no, not a simple transition.
Yeah. I mean, we go from being trained in high structure to then somebody coming along and saying, just share some power. And you're like,
yeah.
Like, do what? Like, have you heard of a boundary? Like, do you even know exactly what's going on? You know, like, was there one thing you started with that felt easiest to you?
I think, thankfully, I had a little bit of it happening anyway, because of my background in sensory, you know, I was working with children with autism, so I was familiar with the sensory needs and all of that. The easiest part for me was probably in connecting. The mindfulness and connecting, and because we tried very hard. The first thing I tried to do was shift the whole mindset in the home from this battle mode, quite frankly, to, okay, we're in this together. We're a team. We're going to walk this journey side by side. So that was the first, like, big mindset shift that our family made. And I will have to ask Trent, but I think that that was felt right away. It was for me, but that was our biggest intentional shift, was just that overall mindset and the can't versus won't. As soon as I could wrap my brain around that, you know, and understanding, okay, some of this is legitimate. He can't now.
Yeah. Can't do it. Downstairs
it,
brain
it
is
shifted the whole way that I was parenting. Fairly quickly.
That's awesome.
But it wasn't easy.
No.
You know, very intentional, very intentional.
Yeah.
But that mindset shift, once I understood, came fairly quickly. So
that's incredible. Well done. I think I'm going to come back and ask you some more questions about that. But Trent, welcome to the podcast, sir. Would you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you came to know TBRI, which we heard, but I'm curious from your perspective.
Absolutely, yes. So for me, my journey starts a little bit differently. So I was born in a family that was very dysfunctional. There was a lot of abuse and trauma going on for many, many years. DSS was actually involved in my situation before I was even born. And so around the age of four, a neighbor had seen us walking, you know, around the streets, you know, searching corners for food and things like that. And, you know, they were like, she was like, okay, I got to do something. So she ended up calling DSS, and then they got involved again. And from that point, I was removed from the home due to the abuse and the neglect and the domestic violence that was occurring in my home. And from there, was that's where my journey to foster care started. First placement was a kinship home with my biological grandparents, and that didn't last very long. Behaviors got to be too much, couldn't regulate myself and things like that. So they were like, we can't do this anymore, sorry, you're gonna have to come and get them. So then that shifted to the next foster home, which was a more traditional sense in the foster home. And so again, there, too much behavior, some more things occurred in the home as well that added to the trauma. And then we moved from that home to then another home and another home. And then in total, it was about 5 different homes in about 5 years. And every time I moved from home to home was extremely traumatic. It severely hindered my ability to trust or attach or even, you know, connect to those around me. I had lost my ability to trust, to believe anything that the adults in my life were saying to me. There were so many nights when I would just cry myself to sleep and just praying and hoping for a family that would just love me, keep me safe, and just come alongside me and make me feel seen and heard and valued. And for many years, I prayed that prayer until God finally answered it around the age of 8 when I met my parents at this match event. And I didn't really understand exactly, you know, what the purpose was. I just thought I was going there to have a good time and, you know, meet some new people. And so when I kind of just bumped into them randomly, and or what seemed random at the time, and I don't know, there was this connection that I felt for the first time in my life where I felt like these are good people. And and this is coming from, you know, a child who had experienced 8 years of unsafe people. And people that I could not trust. So there was something so special about them. And we spent the entire day together. And, you know, I left that day thinking to myself and actually saying in the car that these people are going to adopt us. These are the people. And so a few months had gone by and we didn't really hear anything. So my hope started to dwindle. And now, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, here we go again. More people that are just going to up and leave me. You know, why bother getting my hopes up any further? But then the social worker came back and, you know, told me and my brother that, come, we're going to take you to the DSS office to watch a video about these people that you met at this match event. And so I was super excited about that. And I was just, again, chanting in the car, like, okay, these are the right people, you know, for us and things like that. And so we watched the video. I fell even more in love with the thought of having this family. And then we went back and a few more months had come by.
Golly.
My hope was dwindling again. And then the day we were supposed to go to school, was also the day we were supposed to finally move in with our parents. And the social worker was running late. It was getting really close to time. Our foster parents at the time were saying that we were gonna, you know, about 10 minutes, we're gonna have to take you to school and you're gonna have to wait another day for, you know, to go. And so my heart was racing so fast. And my cortisol was just skyrocketing. And then at the last minute, she finally showed up because she had forgotten a booster seat for my younger brother. And so by the grace of God, we finally got to go that day. And I would love to say that as soon as we pulled in the driveway and as soon as I walked through the doors, that everything was magical. Everything was wonderful. The last 8 years of the trauma that I had experienced was just erased, and that everything was wonderful, that the love was enough, and that the sticker charts were sufficient. But needless to say, it wasn't, because I had experienced so many years of trauma and people who just were not trustworthy.
Right.
So
right.
I tested through behavior. I mean, I had lost so much. I had lost all of my siblings except for my younger brother throughout foster care. Mm-hmm. And so I had to test, and I tested through behavior, through defiance, through anything I could think of. But what my parents did is they loved me through it every step of the way. I never once felt judged or like the bad kid, the abnormal child, you know, and that's the way I had felt for so long, you know, mm-hmm. during foster care and even before foster care. I felt like I was the odd one out. I felt like I had a stamp on my forehead that labeled me, you know, foster child. Mm-hmm. And I finally was in a home that showed me over a long time, because as we know, it takes a significant amount of time mm-hmm. for these changes to start occurring and for my belief system to start changing as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tested for years and years and years before I slowly started to believe that what they were saying was true. I mean, they told mm-hmm. me every single day that no matter what you do, no matter what you say, we will never love you any less, and we will never mm-hmm. judge you. You are our son, and we love you. And in the moment, that sounded nice to hear, but I was like, I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to test that.
Right.
Are you really going to do it? And they did, and it was wonderful. And it was also really tough because for many, like I think it was roughly 7 years without TBRI. So, I mean, she did everything she could with the knowledge that she had, you know, she did have some, you know, TBRI like instincts before mm-hmm. knowing TBRI, but there were a lot of challenges and there were a lot of things that she's even said, you know, I wish I had done differently after TBRI. But once she got that TBRI training, I kind of got to experience what that was like and, you know, close to my teenage years. And it was life-changing.
Okay. I don't want to get too far because I want to make a couple of like highlight a couple of things that you said. And one is that, I mean, you have been so kind to share your story with me, and I know, and we'll put it in the show notes, that you have an episode on your podcast or y'all's podcast specifically about your experiences. So we want to make sure that if people want to hear more about your story, that they're able to access that. But I'm thinking through the lens of what we teach and like the risk factors for trauma. And so when we say system effects, so we already know you have this deep and horrific abuse history, and then you land in the system that's supposed to protect you, which doesn't protect you, right? Like you endure more abuse and more trauma. And then when we talk about those system effects of like a bounce through five different homes in 5 years, and that means five homes, five schools, five neighborhoods, five different personalities of parents, right? Five rules and structures. And how is an 8-year-old kid supposed to even metabolize any of that? Or five younger, you were younger even. And so when we talk about system effects, I just wanted to pause because I want to make sure that we hear from, you know, what you said in your experience, how traumatic each one of those cycles was that you went through. And everyone is a new start. So no wonder that for years and years and years, when you made it home, you were like, hang on a second, right? Like, I've done this song and dance before. I mean, that is the attachment cycle on repeat. That is system effects on repeat. That is the brain, the biology, the body, right? Everything trying to keep you safe within your skill set, right? And a lot of skill set at those ages, even without trauma, is behavior, right? Like if you haven't been given a voice, we're going to see behavior. And so I just wanted to plug those pieces in, because when we're talking about why on earth would we do TBRI, you basically just said it, right? You just said, like, everybody had let me down. Every person that said they were a safe adult was unsafe. And now family that chose me and is committed to me, I got to make sure, because I've heard this song and dance before. Okay. So shifting forward, now your parents have come home, they have this new training. When did you start to feel it?
It took a while, because I mean, as we know, TBRI, it takes a lot of practice, a lot of, you know, being proactive and teaching it, and then being able to implement it and kind of have it become like a habit, and just knowing what the terms meant and what everything was like. And so, you know, after the after they had come home with the training and everything like that, it took, I would say, a few months to kind of just learn all of the new terms and things like that. But we started seeing effects, you know, I would say within like 6 months, maybe a year, like, you know, dramatic effects. I mean, for me, my healing journey was a long one and a very painful one. But I think we had like a whole mindset shift in our family, because at first it was kind of, to me, it was like, you know, this is my pain, this is my trauma, this is my burden to take on. You know, you can be here to help if you want to, but this is mine. And then they helped me open my mind again over a long period of time to shift, you know, using the TBRI principles to see that we're in this together. We are a team. This is a team approach. We are going to attack this, me and you, against your past, not each other. So we're going to tackle this head on. We're going to walk this journey through it with you. We're going to feel every emotion with you. We are here for you. And over a long time, I began to see that. And then I began to believe that. And it was absolutely life-changing. I mean, we together came up with the name of Team Taylor. And we celebrate that day every day for our adoption day. And we have mugs and t-shirts and hoodies and all kinds of stuff like that just to celebrate that. But that was just such a big, you know, turning point for me. Because for the first time in my life, I felt like I was a part of something, and that I had people who were going to help me and stand by me no matter what. And then it wasn't me against all of my trauma anymore. It was me and my family against my trauma. And they helped me identify my own triggers. They helped me understand kind of why I was acting the way I was, why I was having this push and pull with this attachment and whatnot, and kind of just explaining my behaviors to me in a way that helped me understand. So that way I didn't feel like there was something wrong with me, that there was finally a reason behind my behaviors. And that, you know, just being able to understand that was so, so important for me, because it really helped put names to everything that I was feeling and helped me then learn how to express it in a healthy and proactive way.
Man, I'm sitting over here. I have chills and I have tears, and I'm just trying, Pam, like I'm trying to manage, like imagine the little boys that landed on your doorstep versus Trent now so articulate, so in touch with himself and his history, right? Like, and that we get here, right? Like, we get to have this conversation because of a relentless battle for his health and safety, right? Like, I have
Absolutely.
no doubt. And so what is it like for you? I know you've heard him tell his story before, but
No, but every time, I mean, still, I've heard it hundreds of times, but every time it still touches my heart because I still remember the little boy who with the hoodie over his head, who would only look at the floor, who wouldn't even make eye contact to, now he goes out in public, speaks in front of thousands of people. And that's not because of me. That's because of God, and that's because of Trent. He was determined very early on that he was not going to let this define him from a very early age. I mean, I would say, Trent, what do you think, like 10 or 11? He decided, he's like, okay, I am not going to, this is not going to define who I am. And then I've watched that transformation. Literally, again, from the little boy who wouldn't even look me in the eyes to the one who's now mentoring and teaching and parent training. And it's such a full circle moment, and it's incredible every time. It never loses its luster. It just doesn't. It's
Do you have a specific memory? Like it doesn't, maybe it's specific, but just an overarching time of when you could feel him beginning to feel safe. Like sometimes there's that moment where you know it's happening. Are you willing to
Absolutely.
share
And he
that?
probably knows what I'm about to say, I think. Absolutely. So Trent was very anxious, understandably so, and would never fully relax. I mean, at bedtime, anything, my goal was this, oh, I just want him to feel calm and feel peace. And there was one day after school, and I can't tell you exactly when it was because that was so long ago, but he laid on my lap. And I felt his body calm. I could literally feel it. And then he fell asleep on me. And that moment, I sat there and just cried. I mean, it sounds like such a simple thing, but I think you get it. Just the fact that he felt safe enough and comfortable enough to calm his body and go to sleep. And I just laid there for hours, kind of just crying and holding him, because that just felt like a victory.
And
It did.
oh gosh,
Yeah.
y'all are killing me. Oof.
Oh,
Trent, do you remember that moment?
I do very much
You do?
so. I mean, there were many moments like that. It was one of the first times where I really felt myself being able to relax. I felt safe probably for one of the very first times in my life. And it was just looking back, that was such an important moment, to be able to do that. Because for so long, I had my head on a swivel. I had hypervigilance like nobody's business. I was constantly searching for my surroundings and things like that to see when the next, trauma was going to come from. But this was finally the first time where that wasn't racing through my mind, where I felt like, you know what, it's time for me to be a kid and let go and let those around me, take it from here.
And that was the moment
Finally.
when you let me do that, finally, and it just was so clear, so clear. And I won't say it was like that, 100% of the time from that point on, but that was the start of, moving in that direction. Felt safety was a big issue for Trent. So we did a lot of things with which that we expect that as well. But he slept in our bedroom for quite a long time. And we work with parents on that now. Like, that was what he needed. And to give him his felt safety. And that was the part that somehow I instinctively had that part without knowing it, thankfully. Because
Yeah,
that
that's good.
I think that helped him a lot.
Yeah,
But
it's yeah.
yeah.
Especially if you've been trained on boundaries and
Yes, yes.
kids regulating themselves, and he's
Yep.
8 years old, he should be able to sleep in the
Yeah,
room
should be
by
able to do
himself, right?
it.
Like all that stuff to I mean, that's a big deal in my mind that you were like, no, we'll, do this instead, where you feel safe is
That's very, very powerful. I just think about, like, you were talking about being the parent, like hiding in your closet, crying on the floor. I don't know what to do next. Like, I'm isolated, I'm alone, I'm frustrated. And, like, as a parent, like, we think that's it is. It's our most important job, and it's the one we want to fail the least at. And so then, like, that comes with a whole bunch of shame and frustration. And so I think about any of our listeners that are literally doing that. Like, you're going to a quiet place to cry because you're so desperate. Like, just feel the hope of this, that it doesn't happen overnight. It happens in little moments. It happens in meeting at the bus or picking up from school and having a snack. It happens in the repetitiveness of I'm here for you no matter what, right? Like, all of those moments lead to this little boy coming home and feeling safe enough to fall asleep in your lap. Like, it's coming, right? Just persevere. And my gut says it probably wasn't perfect all the time. I have
Not at
yet to
all.
get it right
Not
all
at
the
all.
time.
Yes. Yes.
So, oh man. Okay, so you guys took all of these experiences and you started an organization. Who would like to share about the organization?
Trent, you want me to start and you finish?
Yeah,
We'll
I
do
can
that. Okay.
start.
So
Yeah,
are you, or you can
absolutely.
start. Go for it.
Yeah. So we run a ministry called Watch Me Rise. And from an early age, I wanted to share my story. I think I began sharing it around 11 or 12, I believe, or something like that. And my mom was like, "Hey, we've got this event coming up. Do you want to share something, a little bit of your, a little something?" And I said, "Of course." And then it kind of went off from there, really. And so it kind of evolved into this support ministry where we help foster and adoptive parents and their children by wrapping around them in a variety of different ways. And our main goal is to show them the ultimate healing that is found in Jesus Christ and just letting them know that they're not alone in this, that they are not the only ones feeling this. They're not the only ones in their closet crying. And so that way they know they have support and we can educate them on things like TBRI and the behavior issues that are occurring and kind of helping educate them. And so that way they, when they go home, they can be like, okay, this is why these things are happening. And so the biggest thing we do is really just supporting and educating and just loving on the families that come through our door. And it has been such an incredible gift to be able to do this alongside my mom. And we have, so many different resources that we have available to help families. And so that's just, it's been our passion and it's been my passion from a young age because I knew that God could take everything that I had been through and was going to use it for something good. And again, that took me a long, long time to figure out that piece. But I want, but I kept, but even from a young age, I was always like, we have we love this God who can do such amazing miracles. And I always thought, like, if he can do something with my pain, why not let him? That way it wasn't all for nothing. It wasn't just pain for the sake of pain. And I always wanted to give back. And, through many different events, God has led me to this moment and then this. And I am so blessed, so grateful that he has given me this opportunity and to do it with my best friend.
Now you're gonna make
Well,
me cry.
Trent, goodness. Listen, man. Okay. I just think, like you said, it just struck me when you said, why not let him take my pain and use it? Right? Like, and just to have that open heart. And I also really appreciate that you said it took you a long, long time to get to this space. And I also think you're very young. And so I think you have the insight of somebody that is older than you, quite frankly. Like, it's fascinating to me to listen to you share your story, and you have so much clarity and you know where you're going, right? Like, that is a unique thing for many, many people your age. And I think just what a blessing that you were so open to kind
Absolutely.
of each door that opened in front of you and said, I'm willing. And the confidence that you have in that, I don't know if that wanes ever, but like it seems
just like you are very steadfast in who you are to me at a young age. And so it's just what an honor to listen to you tell your story.
Can I brag on him for just a minute?
Of course.
Can I step into mom mode for a minute?
Absolutely. Yes.
So he is always like that. And that's because he wakes up every morning and literally asks God to guide every step. And he has walked through every door that he felt God has opened, including becoming a TBRI practitioner, you know, at an early age. He was young. Trent, how old were you when you became a practitioner? You were 20? 20.
Gosh.
Yeah, he was
might
20.
Be our youngest.
He might be. He might be. But the fact that we can now go out together, you know, as adoptive parent and adoptee, as TBRI practitioners, it is so such a blessing and such an honor to be able to present information from both sides of the perspective. And we can wrap around family, entire families, you know, that way. So we do, we have resources and books. We literally just finished a Bible study for anyone who's experienced trauma. Actually, just this morning, we pushed submit on the,
congratulations. On the proof. That's so exciting.
So, and we do trainings, we work with families, we have support groups, everything that I wished I had had when I was going through as an adoptive parent is what we've tried to do now. So we were trying to put in any kind of support or resource that would have been helpful to our family as we went through the process. So we're trying to wrap around and make this journey a little bit easier for families and children who are on this journey together. Just to provide anything we can provide to help them along the way. And it's such an honor to be able to do that with Trent.
So, oh, yeah. So what are the, can you tell me, well, a couple of things. Where are you guys located? Where's Watch Me Rise located? And then what are some of the support programs you offer?
Okay. We're in Wake Forest, North Carolina. So we're kind of right outside of Raleigh. Most people know Raleigh a little better. So we have support groups. For families, also for the children. They meet at the same time, which Trent usually works with them. We have educational therapy services. We have the TBRI consultations for families. We work one-on-one in homes, in our office with families who are struggling. We do all kinds of specialized trainings. A big piece is Trent public speaking. Which he kind of travels all over the country and shares his story of hope a lot.
Awesome.
And, you know, to address some specific needs, we've got, Trent does a fostering faith Bible study across the country, actually online, for those who have been in care, parent coaching, all kinds of, did I get it all, Trent?
Just a couple things. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely link your website, which would include all of that. And then your podcast link. And then hopefully will the Bible study be there too?
Probably. Yes.
Okay.
It should be. It should be.
Mm-hmm. And then didn't you guys write a book?
Trent, you want to? Several.
Several. Actually. So when I was 14, I wanted to share my story. And so me and my mom, we went away for about a week and we co-authored my autobiography called Shattered No More. And it was so therapeutic, such a wonderful gift, because I wanted to be able to share with a large audience, like, this is how God has worked in my life. And this is where I am because of him. And it's been incredible. And from what I've heard, it has touched a lot of people's lives, you know, as we know, when we make resources or we talk to people, we don't always get to know the impacts. But when I do get to run into people and they say, you know, hey, I read your book and it really helped me get through a tough time. Mm-hmm. It's really just confirming that, you know, I'm doing exactly what God has wanted me to do all along. And then when I was about 18, I wrote a book called Battling the Invisible Enemy. And that's to help kids who are struggling with technology addiction and things related to technology, and just to help them, you know, in addressing that and being able to overcome that pull. And I'll let her share her book.
I have an autobiography from the parents' perspective as well.
Cool.
And that's called Behind Their Smiles. And it talks about how they would walk around with a smile plastered on their face, but everything that was underneath, and kind of our journey with that. And then we've co-authored the Bible study that's coming out next.
Yep.
So
four resources.
Wow. My goodness. Well, I think you have produced more tears than any other guest from me today. It just is, it's just so profound to hear the really the story of so much pain and suffering and trauma into this story of healing. And then on top of that, using your pain and suffering and trauma and your healing story to bring healing to others. It just is really, really wonderful. And I really thank you guys for being on the podcast and sharing today.
Thank you for allowing us to share. It's a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolute blessing. So honored to be here and so thankful for TCU and TBRI and everything that they've helped our family go through and for developing such an incredible resource that we can now use to help others. So thank you.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.